another name I throw up, Jim Jarrett.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it. I play with him. He came from Pontypool.
Yeah.
Or Cross Keys.
Yeah. Pontypool. Canton Pontypool.
That's right. Yeah. And he was very physical. Mm. And, you know, he would put it about and you just went with him. You know, he was with you and you were with him. And he was very good at that. He got an England A call-up, I believe, or England trial, or on reserve for the South African game. South African tour. He was a really good player.
Though he was a Welshman, of course.
He was a Welshman, but he was on the England squad. Yeah. I mean, at that time, you know, obviously the Welsh were, you know, quite a depth in second rows. Or he was number eight as well. He used to play. I played in the both back row and second row.
Which would you say is his better position? Because he started life as a number eight.
Yeah, he did.
Went to the second row and finished his career at number eight again.
Yeah. Well, I think if you go back to the times, you have to say the second row was probably his best position.
Mm.
Definitely.
Mm.
He was. Yeah, I would say second row. That's where he got recognised for the England tour to South Africa on that, as a second row.
Yeah.
Keith Richardson, I played with Keith Richardson, he was a number eight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then he went on to play, prop and got. And I think he would have got capped, but he broke his hand or something at the time, or his arm. And obviously then didn't get selected. I just remembered, I was on about the London Welsh Cup, oh, the hell, I forget it. I think it was Jim Jarrett who actually cried off, which allowed, I'm pretty sure now it was that London Welsh game, but Jim Jarrett who cried off, which allowed Nigel Jackson to come in, not Alan Brin, the other way around. Going to check your notes now and see if that, oh, there you go.
I thought this game might come up.
You got a line through one of the players, have you?
Jim Jarrett was down to play, Well, Jackson and Jarrett names here in the second row.
So it was Alan Brin then,
Alan Brin, of course, we haven't asked you about Alan Brin. Another really costly player.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said, when I joined the club, Brenny was a manager, a bank manager, a bit Redden or something, and career driven. If like, they wanted him to go ahead, but he loved playing rugby so much for Gloucester that he gave up that position and committed to playing rugby for Gloucester and opened up the sports shop in Barton Street.
Yeah.
Brenny was a gentle giant. He was a gentleman. He was a very good player. He was never nasty.
No.
Never nasty. He used to be very brave because he'd get some stick, you know, from various sources, but he still kept doing the same things.
Mm.
And I remember talking to John Pullen when he was picked for England, and John Pullen was, as captain, was then involved with, you know, his view on selection. And he said, well, every time Brin is behind me in the scrum, we go forward.
Mm.
So that enabled him to, he played the whole season, got four caps, I believe. But I mean, a lovely man, gentleman, and very, very good player at that time. You know, everything changes, doesn't it?
Nobody anywhere near the number of appearances he made, over 570. Nobody anywhere near it.
It was only him.
Not enough games played, and his career is so short anyway.
It's a milestone to get to 100 now, isn't it?
Yeah,
for a club.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Five reached 500.
Who, sorry?
Five reached 500.
Well, I know Bob Clues, Peter Ford,
Dick Smith,
Brinny, Dick Smith. Who was the other one then?
Moggy. Moggy.
Yes, of course. Yeah, he would have done.
He was the last.
He's a Treadwell boy.
He was the last.
Yes,
one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
I used to think that when he used to go off on one of his runs, I'm sure the other players didn't know where he was going, and I very often thought he didn't know himself. I might be a bit unfair there, but it seemed to me
he was I remember him and Dave Trick were basically for Bath were competing for a wing position, and because he also played on the wing, and I mean Moggy, you have to say, if you look at it, Moggy was extremely unlucky not to get capped. It's just that that old thing at that time, that, you know, Gloss were perceived as a forward power, didn't have any backs, and which was wrong, because he was definitely would have warranted a cap.
If you look at the number of tries he scored, no matter what Snell and Gloucester played, he scored an awful lot of tries.
We played Bath down at Extra Sevens 1 year against, you know, obviously against Trick. 1 minute Trick would go off and score a try, and Moggy straight back and score another try. It was wonderful to see, you know, these both very quick. I would say Moggy was more aggressive, and could look after himself well, but yeah, he should have got cupped.
Yeah,
had a terrific sidestep, didn't he?
Yeah, he was, again, he was just like that.
It's just natural, wasn't it? You didn't have skill sessions to do that then, did you? You had your own abilities, your own talents, and you just honed them best you could.
Yeah. Mm. But they used to play him so often at the centre.
Yeah,
and I thought he was a wing, if any. Well, no, okay, he was okay in the centre, but far more effective on the wing, I think.
Yeah, he was. He was very quick, and he did. As I said, I saw him against Dave Trick, and I felt he should have got capped for England. I don't think you could argue too much about that.
No.
His commitment to the club was fabulous. It really was.
Yeah. And there's little John Dix as well.
Dixie.
On the other way.
Yeah. Well, of course, John was already down the club when I went down. It was him and John Groves, I think.
John Groves, with
the wingers.
Yeah.
Dixie was another one who was extremely fit and gave it absolutely everything he could.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how many games, but quite a few games he played for Gloucester. And he played, obviously, in London Welsh. His job was to mark Gerald Davis, which he did exceptionally well as.
Yeah.
And then the following game was Eric Stevens' job to mark out David Duckham on the wing, which he did extremely, you know, matches up you'd never see. But his brother Stuart was a very, very good player. Stuart Dix, who was at Gloucester obviously as well.
If only stayed at Gloucester.
Stuart just had it in his mind that he wanted to get a county cap like his father or grandfather or somebody had got. He just wanted to do that. Once he did that, that was it.
He just wasted talent, a hell of
a waste of talent.
Played in the winning side in the final, didn't he?
He was another one who, if he'd have just really put his mind to it, could have got to England. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He was elusive. He was just really, really very, very good. But he didn't have the mindset. He didn't want to do it. He just liked running in and scoring tries. The discipline of having to stay there and perhaps only get the ball now and then didn't suit Stuart. He'd go back to Goran League and score three or four tries a game in the seconds or so, and he was quite happy to do that. That's what he enjoyed. He had this drive and ambition to, as I said, to get his county cap. He got that and he packed up.
But John was arguably less talent, albeit a good player. Of course, he was there for season after season after season. A very long career, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And I think you're right. And it's not being unkind. He wasn't gifted with as much talent as Stuart. But it's one of those things. If you'd have had John's drive to train, to play, to keep going, then. Yeah, then you're looking at the next England national, but you can't put the two together, can you?
No.
But it was in the genes, wasn't it? Father and grandfather played for Gloucester.
Yes.
Yeah, quite something.
I think his twin brother Clive came down for a season as well. Stuart's twin brother.
Yeah,
Clive.
He played for Gordon League. Didn't
yes, he did.
Too?
Yeah,
Clive.
Yeah. I think he came down for a season as well. But certainly, I know that was Stuart's drive. I want to get that, get the cap, got that, packed up.
Another back row, Eddie Pinkney.
Matson.
Yeah.
Number 8, yeah. Eddie, that was a player you never knew where he was going to go. He was, you just didn't. He'd take off with the ball, you just had to try and hang on to him somehow because he stopped, start, twist, turn.
Yeah.
But you never really knew where he was going. At least with Pot, you knew where he was going and straight, and that was it, you know. He was very elusive, Eddie. Not particularly big, but just an elusive player. Stop start, but he could turn no time at all and go that way, this way, but he just thought, I'll step back here and watch where he's going to go.